I'm Nathan Cones here with your look at the midday news for this Wednesday, June 17th, 2026. Rural healthcare providers throughout the country continue to face stiff headwinds, leading many facilities to shutter low-volume departments or close their doors entirely. But St. Anthony Regional Hospital in Carroll is thriving as they move forward with a $32.6 million campus renovation project. According to a recent analysis from the Center for Healthcare Quality and Payment Reform, at least 8 hospitals in Iowa are at risk of closing and 2 are at immediate risk. Since the start of 2026, Mercy One closed its facility in Ottumwa, and other providers have cut services in an attempt to balance their books. St. Anthony Chief Financial Officer Eric Salmonson says there are many variables that have led to this environment, patient volume being at the forefront.
One of the biggest aspects of it is just volume. And in the healthcare space, you need a lot of volume to be able to make it work financially. And in any rural area, volume it can be tough. So when we're looking at growth and how to grow the hospital, strategic growth is huge. So when we're adding services, when we're doing these construction projects, we're really hitting some of those high need areas that we feel like our community needs and that we can address those needs.
He adds another critical factor is Medicare reimbursement rates, as a growing majority of patients are using federally subsidized health insurance alongside the increasing average patient age. St. Anthony Regional Hospital leadership saw the challenges coming down the pike concerning Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement rates several years ago and headed it off at the pass by pursuing a critical access hospital designation, which switches reimbursements from a unit-based system to a cost-based one. There were some strings attached to that designation, though, including a limit on inpatient beds and restrictions on average length of stay, which had some people worried about how services would change. President and CEO Alan Anderson says those concerns were understandable, but now that more than 2 years have passed since they received the critical access hospital designation, he hasn't heard a single complaint from staff or patients.
No, we have not seen anything from an operational standpoint. Nothing has changed significantly. It just really is that reimbursement market for us.
Now that administrators don't have to grapple as much with how to cover the significant gap between the cost of a service and what they are paid to provide it, that has freed up time and resources that lead to efforts like the ongoing renovation. That renovation is projected for completion in early 2028, barring any construction delays. Anderson says they won't be resting on their laurels once it's finished, though, as they are always looking for ways to address patient needs in the community and service region.
Part of Eric's and I's job, the board of directors' job, is to really continue to forecast. So we're always thinking 1, 3, and 5 years out, sometimes even further. Like, where is healthcare really going? How do we continue to position ourselves in the best way possible? And so we're already having those discussions, at least high level, on what is next. Where are we going from here? I don't ever want to just sit still. And I think that's been evident as we've done dialysis, labor and delivery, moving into this project. And so I can't necessarily say what is next. Yes, we want to get comfortable in our space, but we want to continue to be strategic with any future projects as well.
Hospitals in the listening area have seen the same challenges and are making similar choices as St. Anthony to address their facility-specific issues. Anderson and Salmonson made their comments during an interview with Carroll Broadcasting that aired on KCIM this morning. A link to that conversation in its entirety can be found included with this story on our website. A Pocahontas man has pled guilty to federal methamphetamine trafficking and firearms charges in connection to a drug distribution operation in north central Iowa. 47-year-old Jordan Mefford entered his guilty pleas Monday to conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine, 4 counts of distributing methamphetamine, possession with intent to distribute methamphetamine, and possession of a firearm by a prohibited person. According to court records, Mefford admitted to conspiring with others to distribute more than a pound of meth in Webster County between July of 2024 and September 2025. Investigators conducted 4 controlled purchases of methamphetamine from Mefford in August and September of last year, totaling more than 200 grams of pure drugs. Authorities also executed a search warrant at Mefford's residence on September 23rd of 2025 and seized a small amount of methamphetamine, nearly $9,700 in cash, 4 firearms, and ammunition. Due to his prior felony convictions, including burglary and other drug-related charges, Mefford was prohibited from possessing firearms. He remains in federal custody pending sentencing and faces a possible maximum life sentence and fines exceeding $60 million. It's unlikely that full sentence will be imposed, however. The case was investigated by multiple agencies, including the Iowa Division of Narcotics Enforcement, the Webster County Sheriff's Office, Fort Dodge Police Department, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Iowa State Patrol, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation Laboratory. And we do need to step away for just a moment. Stick around. More news on the way after this on KCIM.
Iowa Savings Bank has a new chapter. We're now part of Midwest Heritage, bringing together trusted local service with even greater strength and opportunity. Hi, this is Michelle Pritchard. You'll still see the same team you know and trust, but now with more tools to serve you better. We're excited for what's ahead and proud to continue serving this community. Midwest Heritage, here for you today and into the future. Midwest Heritage, member FDIC.
Party on the Bricks is this Saturday in downtown Manning. Enjoy live music from local favorite Chris Mulbauer and the high-energy party band Decoy from 6 to 11. Great food, cold drinks, and hometown fun await. Admission is just $10 for this 21 and over event.
Look, nobody plans to need a body shop. Nobody wakes up and says, I hope today I back into a pole. But when life happens, Mackey Motors is here. Hi, I'm Jason. Collision repair, paint, windshield repair, frame repair, insurance assistance, service, and vehicle sales. From a small ding to a full-blown don't-ask situation, we'll help get you back on the road. Mackey Motors, fixing cars and saving pride. Mackey Motors, Lake City. Together, let's drive.
Welcome back to KCIM's Midday News. I'm Nathan Cones reporting. Organizers of the 6th annual Carroll Super Draft Slow Pitch Softball Tournament announced Tuesday that the event raised more than $16,000 to support local patients and their families as they undergo cancer treatments. The 2026 tournament was hosted May 2nd at the Carroll Softball Complex and featured players from around the state and beyond. With this year's fundraising total included, the Carroll Super Draft has raised more than $91,000, which is then allocated by staff over at the St. Anthony Cancer Center to aid patients, be it through helping with gas and grocery expenses or covering the costs of family outings to give patients a break from the rigors of treatment. The Super Draft raises funds through registration fees for players, raffle ticket sales from fans, and silent auction items, as well as general donations. Organizers have already started working on next year's tournament, which has been scheduled tentatively for May 8, 2027. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says the current U.S. Department of Justice is the most responsive of any he's worked with from either party. However, hundreds of documents he's requested from the agency still have not been produced. Grassley is seeking records in several looming cases, including two that focus on smearing Republicans and President Trump.
In one case, I've had 17 documents, and we know for sure because we've seen some of these documents. In one of these cases, there's 170 others that haven't been delivered to us.
Among the cases, Round River involved the FBI's alleged targeting of conservative officials and groups during the Biden administration, and Crossfire Hurricane, where the FBI is accused of probing for links between Russia and Trump's 2016 presidential campaign.
We're finding there's a lot of things classified that should not have been classified. So we're using the leverage of a new nomination and moving it through my committee to get these documents.
Grassley chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee and met Monday with Todd Blanche, Trump's nominee for Attorney General. The Iowa Republican says he's looking forward to moving ahead with Blanche's nomination and anticipates chairing his hearing in July. Grassley says the missing documents are key to bringing these and other cases to light.
We think the public needs to know the extent to which previous administrations went to the trouble of ruining Trump politically, socially, economically, and even with the hope that he'd be behind bars.
Grassley says the investigation should be exposed so this never happens again. State officials are conducting an investigation into what caused a disruption in 911 service outages late Monday afternoon. Those 911 outages were reported not just in Iowa, but also Texas, Arizona, and Washington State. A spokesperson of Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management says the department was notified by Iowa's 911 service provider that the problem started around 4:15 Monday afternoon and service was restored shortly before 6 p.m. The agency has not determined the full scope of the outage, but initial findings indicate the network had connection issues that affected routing 911 calls from cell phones to the correct 911 dispatch center. And that is going to be wrapping up your look at the KCIM Midday News for this Wednesday, June 17th, 2026. I'm Nathan Cones reporting.